Calling the Tri-City Tips Net. Calling the Tri-City Tips Net for Wednesday, January 8th, year 2020. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located at the Red Cross office in Uncasville, Connecticut. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary nor required for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in and just want to listen, please enjoy. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is 146.97, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced operators. The purpose of this net is to provide a venue for presenting questions, obtaining answers, and advice related to amateur radio, and also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. TipsNet is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We will ask you for your questions after everyone has checked in. The TipsNet has three sections. The first is the open net with rounds of questions and comments. The second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And lastly and third is an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communications should be directed to the net control station. When checking to net, please say, "This is," then release the mic button like this. And listen to ensure that no one else has called at the same time you have. Once you're sure it's clear, then slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and if you have a comment or question. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and I'm located at the Red Cross Center headquarters in Uncasville. And I'm your net control station for this evening. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
This is Kilo 1, Delta, Charlie Tango, Dave and Preston. If nothing else comes up, I have something I will bring up that is of interest to me anyway.
There is. Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, located in Norwich. Name is Kevin. No items at this point anyway.
Here is Kilo 1, Romeo, Mike, November. Bob in Montville with no questions. I believe I might have doubled with K6PDG.
Okay, so far we have Dave, K1DCT. Bob, you were the next one that checked in, K1RMN. And then Kevin, KA6PDG. Any further check-ins, please call now.
is. Whiskey 1, Foxtrot, Juliet, Whiskey, Chuck, Ingraten. No questions at this time.
Okay, Net further recognizes Chuck, W1FJW, and Steve, NK1V. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, very good. The reason I am down at the Red Cross building is that tonight's the first night of the tech class. So I wanted to be here and help Tom out. And so far it looks to be a good group. We've got everything from a retired person who just wants to get into it to an electrical engineer. And we have about 10 or 11 people so far. So that's good. We had one or two people drop out. We have one person who's had a trip overseas, so they're missing the first couple of weeks, but that's good. That'll work out. I do want to mention that the Rhode Island repeaters are linked again. And I'm sorry for keep dropping, but I've got a frog in my throat and he keeps trying to make me cough. So anyhow, just want to let you know I heard a nice little chat between two amateur radio operators, one in Westerly, the other one up in Cumberland, Rhode Island, northeast corner. And he was actually driving in Massachusetts, hitting the Cumberland repeater. So all sounds good. So I think we'll start with Dave. And seeing as nobody else has any questions, what do you have of interest there, Dave? K1DCT, this is KC1TWR, Net Control.
All right, well, it's more just of a little project. I'll call it a report on a project that I just kind of stumbled into. This past weekend there was a RITI contest, so I like to jump into contests. I'm not a big contester. I'm not going to operate the whole thing and go without sleep and wear the pens or anything like that. But I like to jump in, have a good time, help people make contacts, and just, as I like to call it, play a little radio. So I had this discussion a while back with somebody about sideband contests. And the way my shack is set up, and it's just for lack of wanting to change anything, I'm at 90 degrees. So if I sit and look at the radio, the computer's on my left. So if I'm going to enter something into the log, I have to turn to the left, enter it, then go back to the radio, because I am normally in what I call the hunt mode when contesting. I don't sit on a frequency. I just keep moving. I'll let it drop for a second here. So someone mentioned about getting a headset. It's like, okay. I looked at magazines and online. It's like, okay, yeah, there's lots of nice little headsets out there. And I started thinking, it's like, well, I have a pair of aviation headsets that I used to use when I was flying and for a passenger. I thought, well, you know what? I had built a little box to interface that to handheld that looks like the old ICOM 02, 03 series, but it's an aviation ICOM. So I built a box to be able to plug in case I needed it. You know, the electrical system in the plane goes dead, the radio goes dead. I can plug into this thing and operate with my headset seamlessly. So I took that and modified it a little bit and took a cable that I had to hook up to my ICOM 7300 and put that into an RJ45 jack that I had kicking around, put it all together, and lo and behold, my aviation headsets work pretty nice on sideband. And I did have to play with the polarity on the mic and to flip it around, and that made it a lot better. So just a fun little project that I threw together this weekend, and you know, it was of interest to me. Probably everybody's bored by now and has gone off to somewhere else. So back to Net, K1DCT.
Thank you, Dave. And actually, well, that's true to the hobby. You know, amateur radio operators, the ultimate tinkerers. It would have been very easy, although costly, to dial up one of the Heil headsets and try and do something with that, but you were able to look around and find a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and make something that works probably almost just as well. So that's good. That's a good use of materials, a good use of time, and something that you can show for all the work you put into it. So I think that's absolutely great. Okay, we'll go on to Bob, who I know also has an ICOM 7300 and does some FT8, what have you. And Bob, I also know you haven't been feeling that well, so hopefully you're feeling a little bit better. But let's see what comments you might have for this round. K1RMN, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is K1RMN. Well, first I want to let you know that I'm operating under the influence. Cough syrup with codeine, so I won't be driving tonight anyways. But I'll touch on Dave's a little bit. I have my ham shack is actually it's a finished door. And it's, so it's 80 inches long, and I just swapped everything around. I had the radio and all the gear on the left-hand side and the computer on the right, and I just swapped everything so that the radio and the tuner and the speaker and the amp and all that stuff are now on the right-hand side, and the computer is on the left-hand side with everything, but it's still one straight surface, and I find it much more comfortable this way for me, because I can tune with the right hand on the dial on the 7300, and the keyboard is right there and the screen is right there. So I'm looking forward to when I finally get a ham shack that I'm going to build myself, probably after we move. And I'm looking at that 90 degree angle and how to set things up, but yeah, it's always difficult. Let me reset. It's always difficult finding that setup that ergonomically fits what you want and when you need it, and so that you're not crossing back and forth and getting lost. But I'm with Dave on wanting to be able to hunt and peck, and then not have to lose sight of things as I'm going over to the computer. The one thing I did get was a wireless keyboard and mouse, so that I can move the keyboard all over the place, and that also helps me keep my eye on what's going on the screen on the 7300. I do use Ham Radio Deluxe, but I don't look at the radio screen as much as I have the logbook open up, so I can track everything that I'm entering in that way. So just different ways of running a shack. And let me go and pass it back, and we'll wait for the second round to come. This is K1RMN sending it back to Net Control.
Well, thank you, Bob, for not driving as you put it under the influence. And hopefully, that sounds a little more like you have a cold and what have you. I'm just getting over one. It was a week ago tonight that I first started coming down with it, the last time I was night control. And it's still a little bit in the back of my sinus is dripping on the throat a little bit, but not bad. Fortunately, I also passed it on to my wife. So now she's looks at me kind of with a funny look of displeasure when I walk in the room, but there's not much I can do about that. As far as keyboards go, I have a couple of keyboards I got from Logitech that are solar. They have two little solar panels on them, and I've been using them for years, and I just love them to death. No wires, no batteries. They recharge if you have a small, little, tiny desk light. They don't have to be put in bright sunlight. So I know that's the route I went to get rid of most of the cables. I love my little Logitech. I think it's the 315 Series Max. But everything I have is, like you and Dave at this point, well, like you at this point, is all in straight line. I'm one 6-foot folding table. So that's how I'm managing it at this point. But let's go on to Kevin. And Bob just beat you in checking in. And I heard him perfectly, and then as he finished keying, I heard the very end of yours, so I was already writing your name down, and we went from there. So we'll go on to Kevin, K6PDG. This is KC1TWR.
Problem there, Tim. That's fine. We try to avoid doubles, but they're always going to happen very occasionally. Of course, it is important to wait for the courtesy tone on the repeater, but I'm not saying that that was the cause of the double. We're human. We're imperfect. And if we were anything otherwise, it would be really boring. So, good evening to everybody. I think Dave's topic and what's been discussed so far is very interesting. I put it under the category of making improvements to your operating position, your ham shack, if you will. And that can only help with the efficiency of your communications, which may include logging and answering telephones or whatever. So I found it of interest. Bob mentioned the wireless keyboard. That's what I was going to mention. And then you talked about solar keyboards. I'd never heard of one. I might get one of those. I hate it when my keyboard dies because I don't know on the PC in the other room. What happens is the computer just starts working. Just stops working. I'm under the influence of coffee and a glazed donut. I probably shouldn't even be on the air. Let me reset. Keyboard might be handy. As far as improvements to my ham shack, and I have a kind of different setup. I'm one of those, unfortunately, whose ham shack is also in the bedroom, which is fine, but not. I had two houses I lived in where the spare bedroom was a ham shack, and that's all it was. And that was really cool. But I have a round table that I use. This table is nostalgic. It was made for me specifically by a good friend who passed away some years ago. But it probably is not the best ham operating table because it's round, but I make do with it. I have had thoughts of getting a different table or desk in here, but I have some other physical constraints as to the layout of the room. And I don't really, being an apartment dweller, I don't feel I want to put the ham shack in the living room. And I don't want to put it in the other room that I use as a studio, and I don't want to put it in the library, if you will. Hi. Real quick, but interesting topic, how to improve your ham shack. Headphones are a good way. What I have done is the hand microphones. Let me reset. My microphone for HF and another one for 2 meters has been a tremendous help to me, largely because I use Braille and that requires at least the use of one hand. But if you're writing something down, both hands. And so how I got around and how I got along with a hand mic for years, I don't know. A couple of things just from last week, real quick. I was reminded during the preamble. I had asked last week about the general health and welfare of the 697 repeater, and no one responded to that. I was just curious. It's not an urgent, pressing question, but if the thing is working well, then I and others would probably make good use of it, but I haven't had the opportunity to chat with anybody on that repeater. And the other item, and then I'll hush up here. It was after this and that last week that Dave and I, and I think Bob, went over to 12 meters just for a test. And I think the upshot of that, at least in my mind, I think the others would agree with me, is that 12 meters may have some workability locally, but it didn't seem to perform as well as 10 meters. And those who had the ability tried a couple of antennas, a couple of different power settings, etc. So 12 meters, yeah, it's a band, yep, it's there, yep, it could work. But it seems like locally 10 meters works better. Although I had a pipeline with NK1V up there in Coventry on 12 meters. I could hear him better on 12 than on 10, actually. So that was a long transmission. Sorry about that. KA6PDG, back to neck.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and I did get distracted here. I had somebody walk in and ask a few questions. Which repeater were you wondering if it was back up to full operation?
That was 146.970.
Okay, very good. I will find out for next week. Last I knew, it was up and fully operational, but there was still a RFI situation in the trailer with the repeater, and other people's repeaters were housed. That was occasionally interfering with them as well as with others. And I have heard, not very frequently, but I have heard some sporadic noise on that repeater. But I think I've only heard it like twice in the past 3 weeks or so. So I will check on that. Let me reset. Okay, a couple of quick comments there, Kevin. Number one, on your round table, you may want to consider seeing if somebody can help you put a rectangular top, cover top, right on top of the round one, even if it has, let's say, three corners instead of four, where the fourth corner might be notched if you need to get by or what have you, something that would fit on, and then where it does not overlap the round table, it would be about the same size. Where it does extend beyond the round table in the corners, there would be a small block of wood or something that would help keep it from sliding one way or the other. So, just a thought, instead of getting a whole new table, that would also preserve the self-importance of the table because it was from someone you knew. Also, on the HF side, just as a general announcement, I've heard that there's been more clusters of the Solar Cycle 25 sunspots being reported, so maybe we really have reached solar minimum and are starting to climb out of the pit, which would be great. But let's go on to Chuck and see what he's been listening to all of this conversation, see what, actually, no. Before we do that, Chuck, I'm going to put you on pause for a moment. I'm going to say that this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, and this is the TipsNet, and you do not need to be a member of the club to join. Any amateur radio operator that would like to join the TipsNet, please call now.
There is. Whiskey 1, Julia Oscar Papa, portable, Nyanic, just listening tonight. I have nothing to comment on.
Okay. Okay, Net recognizes John, W1JOP, and that you are portable in Niantic, and you're just listening this evening, so I will not be stopping to ask you anything or giving you a turn, but if you do decide that you want to pop in at some point when I do another call out, you can say, yes, I do want to. So, any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, thank you, Chuck, for waiting patiently. We'll go ahead and give you your turn at the microphone now. W1FJW, this is Net Control, KC1TWR.
I'd like to second Dave's motion about using the headsets. I did not have a fancy aviation headset, but I had some inexpensive headsets made for the computers, and I built an interface box to power the electrode microphone and to get the levels and frequency response for the microphone right to feed the radio, and hook the headphones up too, and it works good. Even an inexpensive headset is pretty good, and it gives you both hands to work with, and cuts down on the fatigue for like a long millstone drill. Back to Net, W1FJW.
Thank you, Chuck, and I can attest to seeing you use those headsets down at the City of Groton EOC, and you look quite comfortable with them, and they seem to serve you very well. Okay, next we'll move on to Steve and K1V, see what his thoughts are on about improvements in Radio Shacks, or any other topic he may be thinking about, because sometimes he comes out with something else that might be of interest. NK1B, KC1TWR.
Bars that you can actually better than regular homeowner duty but it's not quite commercial duty. There's a double notches where you can add the little brackets wherever you want. And I have them spaced very strategically for strength, you know, into the studs and stuff, because I've stood all kinds of configurations. But the one I like the best is, like, right now, is I keep going. I do have two monitors, like a 20-inch one and then a small, tiny one that I'll send my logging software over to sometimes, and the wireless keyboard's one thing. But I kind of just like everything out on the desk, kind of in an arc, where I don't really have to move or turn. By the time I have to turn, because my amp is actually behind me, so if I'm doing stuff with my doublet and I'm playing with the amp, I do have to turn on occasion a little bit, but the settings are pretty much static. You know, I have them written down, and I do have to adjust the tuner as I go up and down the band, but that's right in front of me, so that's nice. Back to Matt and QNB.
Thank you, Steve. Sounds like you've got a pretty good setup there. Sounds like you're pretty happy with the way you have it arranged right now, and that's working out very well. Yeah, I've thought about, you know, when I finally get an HF rig set up, setting it right in front of the keyboard, maybe a little bit to the right where my right hand can, you know, dial and do various things, but then come right back down in front of me to the keyboard. So I'm going to have to experiment with that and see how that goes. Okay, we've reached the bottom of the list, and it is about 7:30. Quick call out, anybody else who would like to join the TipsNet, please call now. Okay, we're going to round robin back up to the top again, to Dave, and he's heard what other people have thought about and done with their, for improvements to their ham shack, to their desk layout, and so forth. And I do have a question for you. Lights and lighting. Do you prefer, like, under-the-counter lights that shine down, or something with a gooseneck on it? What kind of lighting do you prefer and works well for you in your ham shack? K1DCT, this is KC1TWR.
Hi, this is K1DCT. Well, let's see, I'll try and make it the Reader's Digest condensed version. My ham shack is in the cellar, or as I like to call it, the radio cave. And it started out as a 12-foot long bench made out of 2x and plywood. And one section was radio operating, another section was parts and building, and the last section was like tools and storage and books and that kind of stuff. So that still all exists. Then I stumbled across this behemoth of a desk, very similar to what Steve was describing. It's it's a steel desk, got like a Formica top on it. And at one point I had some high friends in low places, and I got this desk for nothing, just had to probably do some damage to my back to get it down here, but here it is. So it seems to be working out. It's probably not ideal, and if Bob would like to come see my 90 degree abomination, he's certainly welcome. Any of you are welcome anytime here. As far as lighting, I have 8-foot fluorescents, and the ballasts have been replaced with the some new ballasts, and I really don't have any noise problems with them, so I'm pretty happy with that. And the last improvement that I'll mention tonight, anyway, is I got myself a new clock. There was some talk of clocks a few weeks ago, and I stumbled across this one that is an analog clock, which I really kind of like. And it's the difference is it has a an additional hour hand, and it's marked by a different color, and it rotates on a 24-hour basis. So I can quickly look at this clock and know local time, hopefully I know whether it's day or night, and if not, that's a whole nother subject. And then look at that additional hour hand and know exactly when Zulu time is. So that's been my latest addition. There's a very long story behind that, which I won't go into at this point. K1DCT, back to net.
Thank you, Dave. That definitely sounds like an interesting clock. It sounds like it's the marriage of two perfect worlds. Why do you need a clock that has, or two clocks that each have minute and second hands, when really all you need is the hour, hand for the for that other time. Sorry, my brain just took a left turn there and didn't come back. Okay, and I think as far as that desk goes, I think I know exactly what you're talking about. I used to work in the school system as a custodian, and one year they had they had us replace a bunch of those old, good, solid metal, you know, more metal than probably a Volkswagen desk for Formica top, with these cheap, I call them tinfoil desks, but they were made out of thin sheet metal, and we had to be extremely careful we didn't bend the legs, even though they were brand new, and any time teachers wanted to move their classroom or desk or anything, it was very difficult. And I'm sure they had those types of desks you're talking about in offices and so forth, but that's where I ran into it, was in the schools. Okay, let's move on to Bob. And see if he's going to take you up on your offer to see your right-hand desk there, and what he might also think about that clock. K1RMN, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is K1RMN. Well, first thing, Zulu time is what you were probably thinking or trying to think of for the second hour hand on his clock there. Quickly, I'll touch on the one thing that I did to my shack that had the biggest impact was to get a boom mic. I use an ICM Heil microphone on a Heil PL2T boom, and I have a foot switch, and that really gives me a lot of mobility because that's a very sensitive microphone, so I can move quite a ways around the shack, and I'm not worried about grabbing a hand mic. So that was probably the easiest thing. I do have a really quality set of Heil earphones, but they're just earphones for when I really want to hear what's going on. They're very, very helpful. Clocks. I got a clock for Christmas. It's a standard clock, but it's one of those, it's got my call sign in the middle of it. My YXL was able to get that for me as a present. It's kind of neat. But these little plastic clocks are the noisiest darn things when everything else is quiet. They just click and click and click, and it drives you crazy sometimes, but you've got a little background noise that disappears. But it's a simple clock, but I also have that MFJ dual clock that goes to the satellite, so I have more clocks than I need in the shack, and very, very, very helpful. But it is good to know the time when you need it, and thankfully the log program that I use automatically injects that when I hit the return button, or you can go in and change the times on things, which is also quite helpful as well. I think I'm going to pass it back, as my voice is kind of cracking here a little bit. So this is K1RMN, back to net control.
Well, thank you, Bob, and it sounds like your wife did a nice job getting that clock, and it sounds like you've got enough clocks in your room to make sure you don't forget the time. That was also an interesting thought, the fact that we've been talking about headsets for, you know, able to hear, but then, you know, what to do with a microphone. I know Dave had said, I think it was Dave had talked about having a desk mic making a difference. Maybe it was somebody else, but instead of having the cord in the way and what have you. But having one on a boom, well, that's another avenue again by itself. Okay, this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet, and we're going to go ahead and any further check-ins, please call now. hearing that, we'll go on to Kevin, see what he thought about my putting a square peg in a round table idea, and what he might have to think about all these, this discussion about clocks and what have you, or maybe something else. KA6PDG, this is Net Control, KC1TWR.
And a fine Net Control at that. Thank you, Tim. Yeah, I was added my notes here to thank you for the suggestion. I had never thought of that. It's a real good idea. It would make the table an inch or two higher, but really I don't think that would be a problem. That is an exceptionally good idea. You'll have to let me know who helped you with that so I can thank them as well. Just kidding. let's see. Yeah, the gooseneck idea, I like that. That's that was the other way I think I was thinking of going, and a foot switch, because I like that kind of operation as well. Maybe even better than what I've got, but I'm not able to build it myself. I'd have to buy something out of a box or have somebody build it up for me. One of the other things I've always done in my ham shacks is have external speakers, and folks who haven't considered that might. If you have a little external speaker, it doesn't have to be anything fancy, just a basic, I think usually 8-ohm little speaker. It can really enhance your ability to hear crisply and clearly. And that also can be very useful when you're out operating at field day or at a museum, ships on the air, or anything out in the field. But that's just me, having something of a hearing difficulty, not severe but moderate, I find an external speaker is helpful even out in the field, as I say. And let me reset. Speaking of ham shacks, and yes, I had a couple of those behemoth steel desks too, and I love them. They're wonderful for just piling equipment on, and plenty of room for your papers and your keyboard or whatever you're using, computer, etc. I can't get through most of these nets without a quick story. Years ago, back in the 80s, when I worked for an employer in a building that had a lot of little rooms in it, and all the little rooms except for one little room down the hall had microphones in them, and there was also a transmitter. The desk in my office was, if some of you remember watching the Jerry Lewis telethon when it first started back in, I believe, 67, those of you that are old enough, you'll remember the desk that Jerry Lewis used on the telethon. Well, that desk was the desk in my office, and it was quite a privilege to use that. It was a great desk. My boss was a very good friend of Jerry's. In fact, somewhere around here, I have a gift from him, a monogrammed cigarette lighter, which I've never used because it's a refillable kind of. Anyway, we don't need to get off on that. Let me reset. Years later, after I was no longer working there, the establishment I had worked at was being sold, and I approached my former boss and wondered if I could get or purchase that desk. And actually, he had passed away. I talked to his wife, and she said, "Well, I have no objection," she said, "but the company's been sold. You got to talk to the new owners." So I called the new owners. They said, "We have no problem with that, but you're going to have to call the holding company." And I said, "Okay." So I called the holding company, and they never returned my phone call. So I hope wherever Jerry's desk is now that it's being used well. KA6PDG, back to net.
Well, Kevin, we'll give you a for persistence, and yeah, hopefully the desk is in somebody's hands who understands where it came from and the importance of it. But we shall see. As far as the round table goes, really the additional height on it would only be the thickness of a piece of plywood. And I'm thinking I wouldn't go with something like quarter inch. I'd say at least 3/8. We'll talk about that more. I don't know if you're going to breakfast on Saturday or not. But anyhow, We'll figure that out. Okay, let's go on to Chuck. And same question there about lighting in the shack, as well as any thoughts about either the round table or clocks, or what was his original bench before he has his current shack bench. W1FJW, KC1TWR.
Shack here consists of some plastic shelving, which has been reinforced with 3/8 plywood and a very small computer table in front of it. And lighting is a pair of gooseneck lamps a foot and a half up on the shelves that shine down on the table. And I have a collection of clocks which show local and Zulu time in 12 and 24 hour formats. And because of the proximity to the beach, I have a tide clock here. Back to net, W1FJW.
Well, Chuck, sounds like you have a very nice, small, efficient setup there, which is good. Myself, I have one single gooseneck lamp. Well, actually, it's not a gooseneck. It's a type of the two metal bars that are spring-loaded, and then the lamp kind of hangs and what have you, which I can swivel to one side or the other when the reflection gets in the way. I also have a tide clock on the wall, something I've been wanting for years and years and years, and about 2 years ago I finally broke down and said, they're ridiculously expensive for what they're doing, but I'll get it. And that's what I did. Okay. And with that, we'll go down to Steve and see what kind of clocks he might be using. NK1V, KC1TWR.
Building, or a little box actually. 45 to my Cat 6 cables in, and my USB adapter cable converter thing. And although I left them coiled, I was able to hook up the RJ, you know, the Cat 6 for the control head, and the USB with Cat 6 converting to go back down to the computer, and everything works fine. I'm a little bit concerned once I stretch it all out, maybe RF or something might be a little bit of an issue, but it all seems to work good, and speaker and all that stuff, so I'm kind of, that's encouraging. So I don't know if some of you know my project is going on, some of you don't, but it's, that was a big step to make sure that that will work, and everything seemed to work fine. Back to that, NK1B.
Oh, very good, Steve, and I apologize. As Night Control, I should have mentioned earlier that your signal sounds like you need a little bit more power behind it, at least to me. While you were readable, I had to turn up the volume a little bit and strain to hear you at times. So I apologize for that. I should have mentioned that a lot earlier. I think that's great that the testing so far with the cables for the 7300 out to the tower, the test with the cables and so forth sounds good. We'll see what happens when they get stretched out. Hopefully you'll let us know how that works. Okay. It's now about 10 of, so I think we should start the second section. Before I do that, as far as the first section of TIPSnet, anyone else have any further comments or anything they would like to make, please call now. Okay, very good. In that case, we will go on to the second section here. And as soon as I can turn the page and get to the right spot here. Second section, does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? Please call now.
Hey, 6PDG, a brief one.
Go ahead, K6PDG.
Reminder for those who are interested, and I don't have all the verbiage here in front of me, but weekend after this coming, so not this coming weekend, but the following weekend, is the VHF contest, and then the following weekend, which I believe is the last weekend of the month, is Winter Field Day, so especially you HF operators might want to be reminded of that. And I guess while I'm keyed, Tim, just remind everybody who's listening that if you want to hear the TIPSnet, you missed part of it, you missed the net, you want to hear something again that maybe interested you, just go to am1700.org, am1700.org/TIPSnet, and you'll see a couple of folders there. Pick the one you want, listen to the recording you want, download it, make a copy, play it to your animals, whatever. K6PDG, back to net.
Very good. Anybody with questions or comments for Kevin and his announcements, please call now. Okay, some of the obligatory reminders. Tomorrow morning, there'll be an amateur radio breakfast at Old Times Restaurants, starting promptly when the doors open at 7. 6 on Saturday at the Uncasville Diner, and I should be there this week, at 8 o'clock is also an amateur radio, loose, no formal agenda, just a gathering of amateur radio operators for breakfast. And that's at the Uncasville Diner on Route 32 in Uncasville, Connecticut. We're down in the Sun Room, Next Tuesday is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club meeting. Starts at 7 o'clock. They've changed that, so that starts at 7 now. And that's at the Red Cross headquarters. And I think that's about it as far as major... those of you who are involved with the Red Cross or interested in anything with that, I think it's the first weekend in March, is their Red Cross University, where they have all kinds of courses about different aspects of Red Cross. And you can contact Sue Bolin at the Red Cross headquarters, or contact me and I can help you out with information about that if you're interested. Any further check-ins or announcements or anything before we go to the third section, please call now. Okay, now for the third section of the TIPSnet. Seeing as we're between auctions, this is the place. Is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items? If so, please call now. Okay, this is Kilo... This is... Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo, net control for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Weekly Tips Net. Are there any additional check-ins or comments before we close the net? If so, please call now. Okay, that was the last call, and if we have no further check-ins, I'm going to close the net. I think it was a very nice net this evening, quite interesting. I'd like to thank you to all who participate in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and also thank you to all those that stood by and listened, and hopefully you enjoyed the net this evening. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month at the American Red Cross office at number 1031 on Route 32 in Montville, Connecticut. The meeting starts at 7 p.m., although a lot of us get there about half an hour to an hour early, so if you want to come early, it's fine. And then we're open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club can be found at the www.tricityarc.com. That's TRICITYARC.com. And that will be next Tuesday. We'd like to thank John W1AN for the use of this repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. Good evening and 73.